See you again, and it's good to have some visitors from Spain here tonight. Back again with the sun. Just kidding about that. Last night in Awana, we had 38 kids last night, 38 children. 22 of them are boys. And I tell you what, that's a lot. They were lined up the water fountain after game time, and I tell you what, I thought that line wouldn't end. There's so many of them. But please be in prayer for the Awana clubs. And that's a wonderful addition. We had 30 last week, and so that's 8 more than we had. And Michael, of course, tonight is going to bring some Awana children up to our minds at prayer time and on his slide presentation. We look forward to that. But tonight we're back in into the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. We covered the first half of this passage in chapter 31 Sunday morning. And as I remembered to, or as I reminded you, we were going to do the second half tonight. This past Sunday we did verses 20 through 30, and tonight we'll do verses 21 through 31 in Proverbs chapter 31. We're talking about the virtuous woman. Made some comments about, or some commentators call her the excellent wife, whichever you prefer. The woman of noble character is another phrase we could use to describe the virtuous woman. But in our verses 20 through 30 this Sunday morning, we mentioned that the virtuous woman does a lot of things. She's involved in many activities for her family and her household. But the main thing, the most important thing about this dear woman we find in Proverbs 31 is her wonderful character. And I think that character is going to shine through a little, even more tonight, especially toward the end of this passage. But we'll pick it up. We'll start reading in verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. In verse 21, we see the writer was mentioning the fact that some more activities that the virtuous woman is known for in her family. And it says in verse 21 that she is not afraid of the snow for her household. Now, I don't know how much snow they get in Israel every year, but I imagine they can get some at the higher elevations. But in this particular case, I believe that we can look at this verse in the context of being cold. You know, I mean, it's cold in the wintertime, even in Israel. And so the woman, the virtuous woman, will make scarlet cloth. She's not concerned about her family being cold, and she wants them to be properly clothed, in this case with scarlet, which is a crimson color, cloth. And she does. She provides warm clothing for her family. Another rendering for this verse is doubly clothed with scarlet. In other words, she is she makes sure that her family is properly taken care of during bad weather. One of the things that the virtuous woman will do for her family. In verse 21, it says that she is not afraid, or verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now, silk was a pretty expensive cloth back in the Old Testament days. And one of the things that she does is make clothing from silk. And the color here is mentioned as purple. Now, purple is also a sign of honor in the Middle East, in the East. So we see that she was adept at making things for her family to provide for her family. In this case, she's making clothing, and the color of it, of course, is purple. And we see in verse 23 that her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And I was having a conversation with an Awana leader last night, and this particular person mentioned to me, you know, you go through all this, and you see what the virtuous woman does. She does this, and she does that. She goes and buys a field, and she makes clothing for her family. Where's the husband at, you know? But we see in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates, that he is sitting in the gates of the city. He is among the honored leaders of the city. And she has helped to bring honor and recognition to her husband. And we mentioned Sunday morning that the excellent wife is a crown of joy to her husband. And we see that I think that this verse can be applied to all women, whether married or single or widowed or whatever. And some of you widowed ladies are saying, well, how can I be a crown of joy to my husband? He's gone on to be with the Lord. Well, you can be a crown of joy to your family. You can. And as a single woman, you can also be a crown of joy to your family, even though you don't have a husband yet. So we see that these verses here can be pointed to the various women as far as their marital status is concerned. So we see in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land. In verse 24, it says, she maketh fine linen, and sells it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. She makes linen, cloth, and she sells it as part of her ongoing family business. And we mentioned last time in Sunday morning that the woman of excellence, the virtuous woman, is business-minded. She went and bought a field, you recall, and she paid used the family's money to purchase it. And this requires some sort of business sense from this dear woman. And we find here in verse 24 that she also makes girdles. Now, these girdles are sashes or belts worn around the waist to hold clothing up. And in verse 24, we get an interesting view of the virtuous woman, that she is industrious, and at the same time, she is frugal with the family's money. She's not a spendthrift. She's very careful when she goes out and spends the family's money. And we see in verse 25 that strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor here means dignity. The virtuous woman is a woman of dignity, and she knows that her family is safe, they're secure. She knows that she's ready for the future. She can face the future positively with maybe not over-optimistic, but she can look forward to the future for her family. And she doesn't fear the future because she's aware that God controls all events in the future. And we understand that. You know, God is in control of all the events in your family and my family. God is sovereign. God will not let things, as we would like to say, let things get out of hand. That's not what God does. The Lord is sovereign in the sense that He wants the best for everyone. He wants the best for our families. He wants the best for the virtuous woman. And He is controlling all those events. So you and I don't have to fear the future, because we know that the future is in the hands of our Lord. And the virtuous woman knows this too. So she can face the future with joy, knowing that the Lord is always in control. So we see in verse 26 an interesting phrase in verse 26. It says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue, and this is the phrase, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, here that phrase means more than just being nice to people. Of course, if you're being kind to people, you're going to treat them in a nice way. But in this particular case, the law of kindness means that she is able to give moral and spiritual instruction to her children. And I was thinking about that. You know, if a mother in a family lives a wicked and ungodly lifestyle, the children are going to learn that. They're going to see that, and they're going to see, well, you know, that if mom is doing all these things, well, I can do them too. And the excellent wife here, the virtuous woman, is qualified to teach spiritual truth to her children because she herself is guided by God's truth. Ladies, you know, and men too. You know, if we want to teach spiritual truth to our children, regardless of what age they are, whether they're small, whether they're teenagers or our adult children, regardless of who that is, what age they are, if you and I, as God's people, want to teach spiritual truth to our children, we have got to be living it, don't we? And the virtuous woman here, the wife of excellence, knows this. Her life is totally and completely guided by spiritual principles laid down by God. She, as a wife in the family, follows those principles. And as a mother with children, she is able, in good conscience, to teach those same godly principles to her children. Something to think about for the future. And so we see that in verse 26, in her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's concerned about her family, in verse 27, as we all know, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, we're talking more than just laying around and not doing any work. That's what being idle is. She is, first of all, she does not spread gossip. And, you know, one of the worst things that I've ever encountered is gossip being spread about other people. Especially when it's about you. You know, if you've had gossip being spread about you and you know it's untrue, you know, you get this helpless feeling. And you say, well, you know, what in the world can I do about this? All these untrue things being said about me, you know, what's going to happen? Well, you know, the wife, the virtuous woman here, the wife of excellence, she doesn't repeat bad things or ruinous things about other people. I was listening to the radio this afternoon before I came over here on BBN, and the brother was talking about there's a difference between being showing grace and showing dirt to other people. We can always dig up dirt on one another. That's not hard to do. We've got the old sin nature. You can find all kind of terrible bad things about me if you wanted to. Let's hope that you don't. But you know what I mean. I mean, you know, we all have to live with the fact that people can use they can use the bad things we can do in our lives against us. I mean, that's part of life. And it can be spread abroad. That's gossip. And when gossip happens, it hurts other people. It's very hurtful and very destructive. Well, the excellent wife in the family, she doesn't mess around with gossip. She doesn't do that. That's not part of her character. That's not part of her makeup. She also, in not eating the bread of idleness, she's not filled with discontent. You know, I'm in this family and I'm doing all this work. I'm working myself to the bone. And there's my husband. He's over there in the city gates having a party with the elders over there. And here I am out and I'm doing all this work. And, you know, nobody appreciates what I do in this family. Blah, blah, blah. Well, that's being filled with discontent. I'm used, that's a humorous illustration. But it's being filled with discontent. And, you know, a wife in the family can't afford to do that, ladies. You can't afford to be filled with discontent in the family because it spreads. It's like an epidemic, you see. It can spread in your family. And you don't want that. But we also see when she does not eat the bread of idleness, She's not does not engage in self-pity. You know, I get up in the morning before the sun comes up. I go to bed late at night, and you know, and I just nobody helps me, and nobody thinks about me, and nobody does. And you know, that's being with self. We engage in that from time to time, don't we? We engage in self-pity from time to time. And that's a sin. I mean, it's a sin against God. And, you know, I've had to go back to the Lord and confess that sin. But see, the woman who is a virtuous woman in her family, a wife of excellence, and she does not eat the bread of idleness, will not engage in self-pity. You know, that's her character is different. And we can look in these verses and we can see what the virtuous woman does not do, but we can also see what she does. Well, we also can see what she does not do. She does not eat the bread of idleness. She doesn't spread gossip. She's not filled with discontent, and she doesn't engage in self-pity. But in verse 28, as we move on, we see the reaction of her children in verse 28. In verse 28, it says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her." The virtuous woman is praised by her children. You know, there's nothing like a mom that loves her children, who cares for the kids, who nurtures them, who guides them, directs them, instructs them. That's a wonderful thing to have in a family. And as a result of all that, her children honor her as their mother. She's honored among her children. And we see also that her husband praises her, and it's an even stronger word here. It says he actually boasts about her. You know, this is my wife. Look at all that stuff that she does in the family. And look at all that stuff she does for me. Look at all those things that my wife in the family, this woman that I married in the family, what she can do. Look at her sterling, godly character. Look at that character. She's the most wonderful woman I've ever met. You know, and that's what the husband is saying about his wife. Because he realizes the treasure that he has. And men, I tell you something. If you've got a godly Christian woman as your wife, you've got a treasure on your hands. You really do. You do. You need to tell her that. You need to tell her that. But we see in verse 28, that because of her character, because of her godly, Christ-like character, she is praised by her husband and honored by her children in the family. It says in verse 29, and this is the husband speaking in verse 29, he says, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." Paraphrase that, a lot of women have done well with their strength of character, with their adherence to doing good, but you have gone beyond the best of women. Isn't it great to be known as a woman like that? Isn't it great to know that because of your character, the way you carry yourself in your family, the way you show kindness and love to other people, the way that you care for other people, the way you nurture your children, the way that people can see in your character that you are a godly woman, and you're going to, my dear sisters, you're going to be honored because of that. People will honor you, hold you in high esteem. You may not say, well, I'm going to get up and this morning and I'm going to be a godly woman. I'm going to show forth all this character to people so I can get honor from them. You're not thinking like that. But it's something that carries over in your life. It's something that people can see when you talk to them, when you show acts of kindness to them. They can see that your character, the character of a woman who is not a woman of the world, but a woman of God. And we see that in verse 30. We see in verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Isn't that great? You know, charm and beauty are at best are transitory. They don't last, you know. And in the world today, charm and beauty are two of the things that the world emphasizes. They place a great deal of value on the outside, the externals of women. And as I mentioned Sunday morning, you know, you've got to look good. You've got to have the latest clothes. You've got to have the right makeup. Your hair's got to have the latest fashionable hairdo. You know, you do all these things and you got to look good. And that makes you a woman to be admired and esteemed. You know, that's poppycock, isn't it? It's not your externals. The most important thing that as a woman, that you have going for you is that you fear the Lord. You fear the Lord. You respect and have reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. That He is such a part of your life as a Christian woman that people can actually see the character of Christ reflected in your life. That's a woman that fears the Lord. The fact that you are yielded and surrendered and faithful to God. Ladies, I tell you what, that's the most important thing you can do in your life. And that's good for us men too, you know. But see, if you're yielded and surrendered to God in your life, your family is going to see that, you see. Your friends are going to see that. The people in the local fellowship here at Northgate Chapel, they're going to see that you're a woman. You're different from other women because you've got the character of Jesus Christ growing in you, reflected to other people. And they can see that. People aren't stupid. People know what you are after a period of time. And so we see in verses 30 and 31, it says, verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. The virtuous woman is praised for what she does, but she's also praised for who she is. And ladies, I'm going to tell you something. Who you are is more important than your externals. It really is. It'll go a long way in your family, in the local fellowship here, in the community. People will see that you're a woman, you've got different character from the women of the world. That you believe in and you follow someone who has transformed and changed your life and changed you into a woman of God. You know, that's what people are going to notice that. And hopefully, when they do, they will give praise to God because of you. That's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Our time is up, and I believe that Michael now is going to have the prayer request.